We have got a fun Friday ahead, taking a look back at year one under Josh Heupel at Tennessee, plus two guests, Madison Blevin-Hawk of WBIR and Ryan Tracy of Locked On Chiefs will stop by the show. All that and more here on a Friday Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, would you looky there, it is Friday time here on Locked On Vols, and thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. Wherever you listen to your podcast, completely free, Odyssey app, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever, plus YouTube, you can watch it now, every new episode premiering at 9 a.m., and of course, you can go back and watch throughout the day. Search Locked On Vols on YouTube. Please subscribe and support your favorite show. I appreciate you guys for doing that each and every day. I'm your host, Eric Kane, and like I said in the cold open, we are going to have a fun time here on the show. Really looking forward to catching up with Madison Hawk now. Madison Blevins on your TV screens of WBIR. She will give us some Lady Vols info, and then Ryan Tracy of Locked On Chiefs will stop by the show in segment three to talk a little Trey Smith and talk about the Chiefs as they get ready and get set for the Bengals this weekend and the AFC Championship game. But before all that happens, let's go ahead and dive into a little bit of Josh Heupel. We talk Josh Heupel a lot. Looking back year one with Josh Heupel, I've been getting some great assists from Vol_football on Twitter. Their graphics department, their research department, they've been pumping out some graphics that I've found very, very useful this week. And so I want to give them a big shout out. I'm gonna indulge a little bit on another one that they put out on Thursday. So it's kind of looking back at the Josh Heupel era. Eight school records were broken, got a bowl bid in the SEC, all that type of stuff. We know all that. Had the fastest offense in FBS. We know all that. Or really, in all college football. But if you look at kind of the year-by-year stacking comparisons of Josh Heupel's offenses, whether he's been at UCF or at Tennessee, it's pretty incredible. Rushing offense in 2021, which was this past year with Tennessee, Josh Heupel's rushing offense was 11th in FBS football, second in the SEC at 217 yards a game. That's up from 25th in the FBS and third in the American Athletic Conference back in 2020. So he actually improved in that area coming to Tennessee from 2020 to 2021. So rushing offense, 11th in the country, second in the SEC at 217 per game. Total offense in 2021, 9th in college football, third in the SEC at 474 yards per game. 9th in FBS, top 10 offense in all of college football, did Josh Heupel have at Tennessee this year. 3rd in the SEC. I would go out on a limb here and say probably behind Alabama and Ole Miss. Probably behind Alabama and Ole Miss for total offense. There's what Josh Heupel is probably behind. In 2020, he was 2nd in FBS, 1st in the AAC at 568 yards per game, coming to Tennessee. So 2nd in the country, you go up into the SEC, you only fall down 7 spots to 9th in the country. Not too bad there. Scoring offense for Josh Heupel, 7th in FBS, 7th in big-time college football, 3rd in the SEC at 39.3 points per game. 39.3 points per game. Not too shabby. In 2020 at UCF, he was 8th in FBS, 1st in the AAC at 42.2. So any way you want to spin it, Josh Heupel, a success offensively here in year number one at Tennessee. Number 7 in scoring offense, number 9 in total offense, number 11 in rushing offense, number 6 in passing efficiency. All that in FBS football, all that top 3 in the Southeastern Conference. So a breath of fresh air, to say the least, compared to what Tennessee was enduring under Jeremy Pruitt. That was defensive-minded philosophy in running this football program. So, I mean, of course the record is not going to stack up against some, but, you know, Josh Heupel had 7-6 overall record. Still something to be proud of, a step in the right direction, all that and all that. But I wanted to go back into Tennessee lore, the Tennessee history, and look at some first-year head coaching records and kind of just see, you know, who had the best. So, of course, Josh Heupel is sitting there at 7-6. 1899 to 1900, Tennessee had a head coach by the name of J.A. Pierce. In 1899, Tennessee's record was 6-2. That wasn't too shabby. In 1907, George Levine had a record of 7-2. First-year head coach of the University of Tennessee. In 1921, M.B. Banks had a 6-2-1. Yes, there were ties back then. 6-2-1. Sometimes they'd be tied 6-6 and call it a day, right? 6-2-1 back in 1921 was M.B. Banks. You guys know this one? Robert Nealon Does that ring a bell? Robert Nealon back in 1926 had an 8-0-1 record for the University of Tennessee. Overall record for Nealon, 173-31-12. That is not too shabby. Have had a couple of different coaching stints, 26-34, 1936-40, and 1946-52. Let's go up to John Barnhill in 1941. John Barnhill had a record of 8-2 for the University of Tennessee. His overall tenure, 35-5-2. Not too bad. Which brings us all the way down to another impressive first-year record, which was Bill Battle in 1970. Bill Battle went 11-1 for the University of Tennessee. He came after Doug Dickey, who later went on to be the athletic director, of course, who had an overall record at Tennessee of 46-15-4. Bill Battle's overall record at Tennessee, 59-22-2, had that 11-1 first year in 1970. Johnny Majors, 4-7 first year, but of course, 116-82-8 was his record at Tennessee that spanned three decades nearly. Philip Fulmer, a lot of controversy there, but when he took over for Johnny Majors in 1992, a 10-2 record for Philip Fulmer. And then, of course, Lane Kiffin had a 7-6 record. Derek Dooley, I believe, had a 5-7 record. I believe Butch Jones had a 5-7 record. Jeremy Pruitt did have a 5-7 record. And Josh Heupel had a 7-6 record. So those are some of the win-loss tallies for first-year head coaches in Tennessee football history. Some notables again, J.A. Pierce back in 1899, 6-2. George Levine back in 1907, 7-2. M.B. Banks back in 1921, 6-2-1. Robert Nealon back in 1926, 8-0-1. John Barnhill, an 8-2 record in 1941. Bill Battle, 11-1 in 1970. And Philip Fulmer, 10-2 back in 1992. So, job well done for some of these first head coaches in Tennessee football. Not sure anybody looked as good as on the stat sheet as Josh Heupel has, at least offensively. And like we talked about on our radio show Thursday morning, where do you go from here? Well, of course, I think the expectation now and forever will be you're going to be competitive, you're going to be scoring points, your offense will be fun. Now, as we talk about, like on this podcast all the time, it's about creating quality depth, finding pieces to fill into your defense in the secondary, at linebacker, at defensive line, finding some more playmakers on offense, creating quality depth that sometimes you just didn't have in year number one. And I think Josh Heupel is on the right path. Again, we'll know a lot more about Josh Heupel in the next offseason in terms of how he can recruit and how he can finish off with the transfer portal this summer. So year number one for Josh Heupel in the books. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Are you happy? Are you, I don't know why you'd be sad. I don't know why you'd be upset considering where this program's been, but thumbs up, two thumbs up, a little indifferent right now. I think it's safe to say off to a good start for Josh Heupel in following year one here at Tennessee. All right, Josh Heupel's in the book. We'll catch up with, or year one is officially in the book. We will catch up with Madison Blevin Hawk when we return here of WBIR. She will discuss some Lady Vols. That's here on Locked On Vols. But before Maddie, you guys know about this, an incredible app that buys gas. You need to know about it. Get Upside. My listeners are earning cash back for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store and Google Play right now. Use that promo code SCORE for 25 cents per gallon or more on your first fill up. Cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code SCORE for 25 cents per gallon or more on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a year in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash gets added right back to your account. You can cash out at any time using your bank account, PayPal, e-gift cards, Amazon, and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use that promo code SCORE to get 25 cents per gallon or more cash back on your first tank. That is promo code SCORE at GetUpside. Welcome back into Locked On Vols, a Friday edition, and want to get some Lady Vols content in here this week because Lady Vols on a roll, 18-1 on the season, undefeated in conference play, 7-0, lone loss coming to Stanford about a month ago, but since then have won 9 straight and moving right along in the SEC schedule. And here with me now is Madison Hawk. You can find her on Twitter at Madison for Blevins, a former Division I basketball player at Belmont herself. And so, Madison, I wanted to bring you on to talk a little Lady Vols. How you doing today?
Hey, Eric, it's good to finally be on your podcast. I appreciate you helping me out during the football season, so this is fun to switch roles a little bit. I'm always down to talk Lady Vols.
Yeah, you do a great job covering the team, and so obviously wanted to get you on. Of course, Maddie's our friend, you know, over there at Tegna, WBR-TV, and so she does a fantastic job. And Madison, I just wanted to ask you kind of your overall impression so far of this Lady Vols team. I mean, I know it's a great season so far, 18-1, like I said, undefeated in conference play, that one slip up against Stanford, but Kelly Harper's proven that she belongs in this league, obviously. Lady Vols have proven they've gone through a lot of injury situations and sickness and everything, but at the end of the day, you know, a top four team in the country right now are the Lady Vols.
Yeah, you know, I said after the road win against 13th-ranked Georgia on Sunday, you cannot sleep on this Lady Vols team right now. They're kind of firing on all cylinders, and it's taken some time. We're now in Kelly Harper's third year with Tennessee, and we're really seeing what she's capable of doing. She's developing players. She continues to recruit players that want to play for her, that want to wear this Lady Vol prestigious brand. And it's paid off on the court. Like you said, they're 18-1. Their lone loss was to a second-ranked Stanford team. That was the first time that we really saw Tennessee challenged inside. It was the first time that the team was able to really limit Tamari Key. She was in foul trouble. She spent a lot of that game on the bench. But what they've been able to do since then, now they're on a 9-game win streak and undefeated in conference play. The last time Tennessee had these numbers, this record, was the 2007-2008 national championship team. You don't really want to compare too much right now because there's still so much basketball left to play. We know that it all, what comes down to is what happens in the NCAA tournament. But if you look at those numbers, if you compare the stats, they're playing very similar to a national champion caliber team. And I credit it back to what Kelly Harper and her staff are doing. They've dealt with a lot of injuries. We saw Tamari Key, Tennessee's leading scorer inside, go down with an ankle injury a couple games ago. Luckily, she didn't miss a game. She had a week to recover and practice and get healthy, and she didn't miss a game. But then on Sunday, Kian Green, a player that comes in as a sub off the bench for Tamari Key and is really a player that brings that punch inside when Tamari Key needs a breather. Now she's torn her left ACL. This is the second time Green has torn her ACL. She tore her right one last season, which put her on the bench, and now she's her college career is over. But it's filling in that gap that they're going to have to do by committee. But I think that that's something special about this Tennessee team is they are winning by committee. Yes, they have a superstar in Jordan Horston, who's almost averaging a double-double, but they're getting wins by committee. They're gritty. They're tough. They go on the road. They get down. They have 11 turnovers at the half against Georgia, and then they're able to still pull it off on the road. And I think that that speaks volumes of what this Tennessee team is doing right now.
So many of the injury concerns, as you kind of laid out there with Tamari Key, who's just so instrumental, obviously the leading scorer at the post, but defensively she's incredible. And you know, her in and out of the lineup, but you know, Ray Burrell missed 12 games. She's getting back into the lineup and she's rounding back into form, which is huge. But you mentioned Kian Green there, and not a starter, but a key backup, graduate transfer coming over to Tennessee, and of course you mentioned she'll be out for the season. How will that affect the depth and the rotation moving forward for the Lady Vols?
It affects it a lot because now Tennessee doesn't really have a post player that's going to come in and give them that punch. They have Sarah Puckett, who comes off the bench, and she acts as a guard forward, so that's great. She's been playing well. She had a stretch in December where she was averaging double figures and like six of her games straight, so she's a good player off the bench. Tennessee's bench is averaging 25, 26 points per game off the bench, so that's great. They do not have that dominant post player off the bench now, and I think that that could be something that hurts this team down the road. They're so guard heavy, and they get a lot out of their guards, but Tamari Key right now is pulling the weight inside. They were outscored in the paint multiple times because they didn't have that player coming off the bench. And you mentioned Ray Burrell. Ray Burrell is another player that can come in. She's starting now, but she can come in and she can bring a spark because of what she's able to do inside as well. She can take defenders off the dribble. She can finish in the lane with contact. And so that's huge. And that's how Tennessee's going to make up for Ray Burrell's scoring absence is having a guard like Kean Green's absence is having a guard like Ray Burrell, like Jordan Horston, that can still penetrate and get some of those paint points, because ultimately that's going to break down other defenders in the lane and create some foul trouble is what Tennessee is hoping. So, like I said, they're going to have to do it by committee now. It's great that they have Ray Burrell back, who was last season's leading scorer. She got injured in the season opener, and she just came back in December. So that was huge having her back. And they're really going to have to rely on their guards even more. They're going to have to make sure that Tamari Key stays healthy, that she doesn't get in foul trouble. She got in foul trouble late against Georgia on Sunday. That cost them a little bit, but ultimately she just has to play smart. Kelly Harper calls Tamari Key the eraser, and that's exactly what she does. It's I'll talk to some of the guards, and they say it's so nice knowing if we have a defensive breakdown that we have Tamari Key in the lane that can kind of clean that up. So they're going to have to rely even more on Tamari Key.
Yeah, E. Pons is also, you know, referred to as the eraser for Rick Barnes and his Tennessee basketball career. A defensive back is often referred to as an eraser on the defense. Always great to have those type of players. But when you move forward, and of course, at the time of this recording, it's Thursday afternoon before Tennessee takes on a winless Auburn and SEC play later Thursday night. But you got UConn coming up in a couple of weeks. That's going to be a massive game for so many different reasons. But then something I've been talking about on this pod a little bit, a three-game stretch at the end of SEC play, heading into the SEC tournament. So it's all great right now. You're 18-1, 7-0 in SEC play, and that's fantastic. But at some point, you're going to go through that run. It's going to prepare you for March, obviously. But you're at South Carolina, back home against Mississippi State, and then at home again against LSU to round out the regular season. What can you say about this upcoming schedule that includes UConn in a couple of weeks, and how do you think the Lady Vols will fare in those competitions?
Right. I mean, we talk about their record right now, but they still have UConn staring them down, and they still have South Carolina. That, to me, is going to be the biggest test for Tennessee of what they can do in the SEC tournament and ultimately the NCAA tournament. Right now, ESPN has Tennessee as a number one seed in the NCAA tournament with South Carolina, Stanford, and NC State. They lost to Stanford. They don't play NC State. And now they have a huge test coming up with South Carolina, a team that has given them fits, a team that has incredible players inside that can give Tamari Key and those post players fits. And so I think that that's going to be the ultimate test for Tennessee is how do they respond on the road to a UConn team that is down right now, ranked number 10 for the first time in forever. And then you also play South Carolina. That's always proven to be a challenge for Tennessee. So they have a lot of tests still that people want to see how they respond. You know, there was so much hype around this team. They were undefeated. And I was like, I want to see them play Stanford. I want to see how they respond against Stanford, who has key players and Haley Jones that gives Tamari Key fits inside. So now how are they going to respond to UConn and South Carolina? And if we go back and compare to that last national championship team in 2008, they lost in the regular season to Stanford and they lost to LSU. So obviously it's much different now 14 years later, but it can happen. And so Tennessee needs to make sure that they stay atop the SEC standings so they can have the best seeding in the SEC tournament that ultimately can lead to the best seeding in the NCAA tournament. But Eric, there's a lot of basketball left to play. The SEC and women's basketball is a little up this year, but Tennessee's still proving that they can be Kentucky by 30, that they can go on the road, have 11 first half turnovers against Georgia, a top ranked team, and still beat them. So Tennessee's at the very top of the SEC right now. They're the number one team, but they've got a lot of challenging opponents coming up as well.
All right, Maddie, last thing, then we'll get you out of here. And since you cover both the Lady Vols and Rick Barnes's men team on a regular basis, let's have a little fun here. You can look at the AP polls and see, oh, Lady Vols number 4, the men's team is number 18. But since you know these rosters and the rotations and the depth and everything, which team is better, you know, would you say? I think they're both obviously good. Lady Vols look better right now, but which team's better?
Yeah, you know, they're different. And Rick Barnes and Tennessee basketball is they're pretty good. They are. They make mistakes. They had a lot of turnovers.
Pretty frustrating too, right?
Yeah, but you watch them and you're like, you see the potential. And I think that that's what separates these two teams right now is the Lady Balls are playing up to their potential. And then Rick Barnes' squad, there's some times where you're like, okay, come on, like you can do better. Let's go. Let's limit these turnovers. Let's shoot a little bit better. And they were much better against Florida from behind the arc. But I don't think I could answer who would win in a 5-on-5. I'm not going to go there. But both teams, fun to watch right now. Hopefully they make deep runs in the NCAA. I'm trying to follow these teams for as far as they can go.
And be sure to follow Madison Hawk. She does a fantastic job covering both these teams, most notably the Lady Vols. She's at Madison for Blevins on Twitter. Maddie, where can we catch you on your sportscast here coming up at WBIR?
Almost every day. my off days are Tuesday and Wednesday, but watch us at 5 p.m., 6 p.m., 10 p.m., and 11 p.m. over on WBIR.
We will do it. Maddie, thanks so much, and please come back and talk more Lady Vols with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, that is Madison Hawk, formerly Madison Blevins. That's how I know her, but she just got married back in the fall, so congratulations to her. She does an awesome, awesome job, and really appreciate her stopping by the pod. All right, we'll come back, and we will close up shop here for another week of Locked On Vols. But before we do that, I want to remind you guys about Built Bar. It's a new year. That means New Year's resolutions, and if yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure to include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. Built Bar, it makes it easier to stick to your New Year's resolutions because it tastes so good. Sometimes you're dieting, you're in week 2, week 3, and you're saying, I just can't do this anymore. I need some chocolate. Well, good news there, because with Built Bar, it's covered in 100% chocolate, but it's only got 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein, whereas you compare that to any other normal candy bar, that's somewhere around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Even if you're not a huge fan of working out, you can at least eat something that tastes good and is good for you. That way, when you enjoy a delicious Built Bar, you can almost count it as a workout. Where do you find all this? It's at built.com. While you're there, use the promo code LOCK15, and you're going to get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off. That is at built.com. All right, we got a final segment left here of a Friday show, and I really appreciate you guys staying with me here on a Friday and another strong week of Locked On Vols. And to end the show, I want to bring on a special guest. He covers the NFL and is a host of Locked On Chiefs. His name is Ryan Tracy. Ryan, thanks so much for taking the time, man. How you doing?
I'm keeping it together mostly. How are you?
Yeah, doing really, really well. And obviously, this is a Tennessee Volunteers podcast. You're covering the Kansas City Chiefs. There are some connections there. Of course, Eric Berry. But right now, none more prevalent than Trey Smith. And Trey Smith was named to the all-rookie team here earlier this week. Want to get your thoughts on Trey Smith and how big number 65 has performed as a rookie this year in KC.
You know, I think what you've seen is the adaptation of his college game. He still plays with a lot of tenacity. He actually is a big upgrade as far as the unit goes in Kansas City. To having that guy that's going to finish dudes to the ground, that's going to make sure that he's got that little edge on every snap. Key for this team, because they've been a finesse offensive line for a number of years. He really makes the transition there. A little bit slow getting started, right? He earned the job and was slotted in there in OTAs. But once he got together, first couple of weeks, getting to know Creed Humphrey in particular, the two of them have been lockstep since then. I think that's been a bolster for both of them. Creed ended up getting a bunch of Pro Bowl votes as well. But the two of them together are a dynamic duo that now they can run power, now they can get out on screens and hurt some people and not just try to get in the way.
Yeah, Creed Humphrey, you mentioned him, of course, another recipient for this all-rookie team. He was graded by Pro Football Focus as the top overall center, I believe, in the National Football League. Trey Smith, the number 11 guard, and that's still saying something. You got two rookies right there for Kansas City, and you know, trying to rebuild that offensive line. It looks like with those two in particular, Kansas City is going to have a strong core of offensive linemen for years to come to protect Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, they better, because they need it. I'll tell you that. To end up with two guys, I mean, there's 64 starting guards in the league. You know, to be number 11 is quite the accomplishment that I think, unfortunately, is being overshadowed by just how good Creed has been at his position. Otherwise, we'd be talking about Trey nonstop.
Now, you mentioned kind of came in there in OTAs and he was, you know, slid in position there as a starter. Was it always the thought that Trey Smith was going to be a starter on this football team? Because, again, he was picked in the sixth round. Now, everybody here in Knoxville, we know Trey. We were going ballistic when that happened because, you know, we've seen it for 4 years. But with the health concerns, was it always the thought that Trey Smith was going to be a starter on this team?
No, No, he earned it. He took that spot and made it his. He was behind two veterans. They pulled out Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who had been the starter there for a number of years. He actually opted out for 2020. He's also a medical physician in Canada, so he stayed home in Canada and did the medical thing. So you lost one. Then Kyle Long began OTAs as the starter, coming out of retirement, a lot more fit, had a tibial plateau fracture there just as OTAs were entering their final phase, and that's when Trey was the next guy up. So we started as the third, a kid that they thought they could give some time to come in as a backup initially, learn the system. You know, I think they want him to get a little bit more fit. We've heard all the complaints about his feet and all that. He's doing just fine as he is. And if it wasn't for that opportunity, we might not even know that if it weren't for the injuries to the other older players.
Now, I read a stat the other day, and I'm sure you know the stat. I want to run it by you, but I mean, it's truly impressive. Trey Smith has logged more snaps than any other offensive lineman in the National Football League this year. And I find that just, it's not shocking, but it's just so, it's kind of funny because, again, a guy that missed time at Tennessee because of things that were outside of his control, slid in the draft because of those same medical concerns, and that same guy plays more snaps on the offensive line than any other offensive lineman in the league. Isn't that impressive?
It really is, and it's a testament to a number of things. Unfortunately, all the Vol fans had to deal with the uncertainty of his condition back then. Yeah. When he gets to the league, it's been diagnosed. There's a good volume of medical knowledge at that point. And to be frank with you, the Chiefs have one of the elite athletic training departments in the NFL. So they just kind of picked up that mantle, ran with it. And they've been pretty exhaustive in making sure that they manage everything, that they're on top of where his physical conditioning is and a number of other things. So he really landed in what was a perfect spot for a guy that needs that monitoring and needs the medical condition to always be part of his evaluation.
I do want to ask you, how was it being a part of, I'm not sure if you were on the side, I don't know if you were covering it on location, but I mean, that Chiefs-Bills game, it might be one of the best games in NFL playoff history. How was that on your end covering it for Locked On Chiefs?
It was incredible. And no, I was not there in person, unfortunately. It's one of those things that in the aftermath, it's not the Chiefs fans that are really solidifying that. It's the other fans around the NFL that are calling it the 13-second game, giving it a name as though it were, you know, one of the miracles or the catch or what, like giving it the name, I think, is what solidifies it in not Chiefs Kingdom, but around the rest of the country.
Ryan Tracy here of Locked On Chiefs joining the show. I want to get your thoughts on us on Saturday's game or this weekend's game. You got Kansas City, of course, hosting a surprise team in Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is played very, very well as a second year coming off that ACL tear and made the comment back in October that playing in the SEC is louder than any stadium in the NFL. But it's going to be ruckus down there at Arrowhead. Kansas City's a touchdown favorite last time I saw. What do you like about this matchup?
I think Joe's great. I'm a big fan coming out. I like that he's been able to sustain the injury and bounce back and honestly improve. Joe might regret some of those comments. Nothing against the SEC stadiums, but let's be specific. It's not just one of the loudest. It's the loudest stadium in the world, according to Guinness Book of World Records. So it's not close. It's not exactly like, oh, it's in the realm. Joe will find that out, and that's okay. He's never played in the building before. It'll be enlightening. I don't think it's that big a factor because of his experience in college. He's played with some very large and very loud crowds before. This one's just going to be a little bit more. I like his optimism, and I think that what he's going to come up against now is conditioned, experienced coordinator and defensive staff that has now seen his best game. That they had to pull out the stops to get that win against Kansas City Chiefs a couple weeks ago. Chiefs made some tactical errors in that ball game, and so I do believe that they're going to be prepared to make some adjustments, hopefully not over-adjust, which is the fear always when you want to overreact to what success was had last time. So as long as they keep that steady, I do expect a tight, good game from both offenses. I think it's going to be a narrow win, probably 3 or 4 points.
All right, last thing, man, and we'll get you out of here. Again, this is Ryan Tracy of Locked On Chiefs. I mean, it looks, you know, Kansas City drafted so well, you know, this past year. I can't remember off the top of my head who the first round draft selection was. But I mean, you got Trey Smith in the sixth round. You got Creed Humphreys later on. Nick Bolton is a star on the defensive side of the football. Who in that class is kind of being the leader, is kind of being the someone the fan base has gravitated towards? Is it Trey Smith? Is it Bolton? Is it Humphrey? Is it all those guys? Who's kind of that young leader that fans are pointing towards for Chiefs Kingdom?
It really is the trio overall, with just a slight emphasis on Bolton and Creed, because they are taking the second round. There was no first rounder. That became Orlando Brown playing left tackle for this team.
Gotcha.
So that drop down allows them to take that over. But it is very much the three of them mentioned in the same sentence, because they've all played so many snaps and played not only up to their potential, but a little bit beyond when it comes to Bolton, to tell you the truth. I had him as a little bit of a later round grade. And so when he was taken, I was expecting to see some progression, but he's made a lot more progress in one season than I thought anybody saw coming.
Yeah, I very much remember him at Missouri. So playing Tennessee, he was flying all over the field. Ryan, appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much. Always appreciate your insight on Trey Smith and what's going on with the Chiefs. And we hope to have you back on the pod again here in a few weeks.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks, man. Good luck. All right, that is Ryan Tracy. Does a fantastic job. Really appreciate him checking out the show. If you want to get some more on a little bit of Trey Smith and anything Kansas City, you can dial it into Locked On Chiefs. A big matchup this weekend as Kansas City plays host to Cincinnati. That's going to do it here for Locked On Balls this week. Really big thank you to Madison Blevins Hawk for stopping by the show, as well as Ryan Tracy, as we finished off strong. Now that we've got Locked On Balls in the book, you got Locked On Balls as your first listen. Check out Locked On SEC. Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC, the host, gets content, gets interviews all around the SEC, does an awesome job. Check out Gordy of Locked On SEC and give that a listen there. All right, so we will put this week in the rearview mirror. We'll come back Monday strong as ever. Hey, got a one-year anniversary coming up next Thursday as your host of Locked On Ball, so really, really looking forward to that. Guys, thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of your Friday, everybody.